Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
Hey, Dolphins, this is Michael Fink with the FinFans podcast. Each week we come to you and bring you our opinions on what's going on within the Dolphins organization. During the season, you'll hear two shows each week where we review and preview each game. We shoot straight from the hip and have fun in doing so. We'd like to thank both the Dolphins Talk Network and the Pigskin Podcast Network for their support. Make sure to check them out. Please leave us a review at Apple Podcasts or wherever you may listen to your podcasts. Please make sure to follow the show. That way you'll know when a new one comes out. It's truly appreciated. All right, let's kick off today's show. All right, we're back again. This time after the Dolphins' fourth straight victory. It's Victory Monday, Lewis. How are you?
Victory Monday. Victory Monday. Victory Monday. Victory Monday. Four in a row, Mike.
It's going to be a habit.
Four in a row. We were not expecting this. We both predicted them to lose.
Shh, don't tell anybody.
Well, they know. All the listeners know. You know, we ate crow, Mike. The both of us ate crow.
All right, I guess so.
Yep, we did. You know.
It was actually my second helping. I think, you know, I picked the Ravens too.
Is that right? I did as well. As a matter of fact, I didn't pick the stinking Jets. I know that.
No.
Anyway, yes. I mean, fourth win in a row. I mean, wow. I mean, talk about total dominance, right? They go out there and they play They played the most complete game that they've played since San Francisco last year when they went over to West Coast, and
yep.
Fitzpatrick was airing balls out all over the place. The offense looked phenomenal. The defense was phenomenal. This was the most complete game that they played.
Forget special teams.
Special teams as well. I mean, they got us going with the blocked punt.
Yep.
I mean, what a game changer right there. I mean, you know, the game's going a little bit back and forth. You know, we had a nice opening drive. You know, we stall. You know, we take a bad sack. You know, we fumble. The ball goes, of course, backwards 20 yards instead of forward 20 yards. And we get out of field goal range because of it. And we come away with nothing. But after that, you can count on basically one hand the amount of mistakes we made over the course of the next four quarters. A blown coverage, you know, which set up the Panthers' one and only touchdown of the day. Couple of mishaps in regard to, snaps by our center.
Right.
A missed extra point by Mr. Sanders. Other than that, Mike, I mean, literally, I don't know if there was a bad play on the table. Tua, 27 to 31, 230 yards, touchdown, zero interceptions.
I don't think he threw a bad pass in the game. I really don't.
I don't think so. I mean, his four incompletions, I can't even remember them, to be honest with you. I just can't remember them. But the bottom line is that he played a very, very solid football game. Waddle, you can't say enough about the day he had. That average per catch was way up, almost double.
They finally were able to hit him in space down the field.
Down the field, over 10 yards.
Something we've been waiting for how many games have we played now?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, targets 10 yards plus down the field. I mean, he had 9 receptions for 137 yards. I mean, just an incredible game. He was a total mismatch for...
He was outstanding.
Yeah. He was total mismatch for the guy he was going up against. And, you know, the funny thing is that, you know, I think he has the capability of doing that week in and week out. They got to put him in that position.
Agreed.
Move him around. You know, the next thing we want to see is some, you know, fly patterns, you know, down the field, whether it be down the middle or down the sideline. I don't care. But, you know, Mike, he is going to need help going forward. You know, if there was a negative past Waddle in the passing game, is the average per catch of all the other receptions and all the other completions from Tua. You know, he had a total of 18 other completions. And let me just throw this at you real quick. The yards per reception for Smite, 5 for 32. 6 yards a reception. Albert Wilson, 5 for 17. I mean, that's 3 yards a reception. Gesicki, the same thing. 3 for 17 yards. That's 5 yards per reception. And Gaskin out of the backfield, 2 receptions for 3 yards. That's a yard and a half per reception. And Preston Williams, 1 for 4. You know, we have to work on getting the ball downfield to more than one
their
guy.
Their yards per play yesterday was under 5.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. Throw in the running game. And, you know, you had Gaskins rush 16 times for 49 yards. That's 3 yards a rush. Ahmed, 5 for 17. That's a little bit over 3 yards a rush. And Phillip Lindsay, who had absolutely looked great yesterday. I can't say great, but I felt that he had an outstanding game. He's got some speed.
A little bit of burst.
A little bit of burst. Runs very hard, even into the middle. You know, I mean, I've seen guys, Mike, that have that outside burst that kind of get a little tentative in the middle.
Yes. Yeah.
That's not the case with Lindsay. I mean, right. He was going full throttle into the, you know, into that line and, you know, into the middle of the defense. And, you know, he didn't hold up at all. I mean, he was just going full throttle.
You know what? The fact that he was out there at all is a testament to him, because he came in the middle of the week.
Yeah, absolutely. 12 carries, 42 yards. I mean, you know, they're not great numbers, Mike, but you know what? You saw the ability there. You saw the ability to create on that one run he had outside. You know, he kind of like burst outside. It was jumped over a guy. And, you know, I think it was as long. It was his 9-yard run. That was as long of the day.
But he should have been stopped for 2, and he made something of it.
He made something of nothing. You know, with Gaskin, you know, you can look at every single carry, and it's not only on him. It's, you know, it's more so on the coordinators. But you can go back over the first course, you know, the first 11 games of this season, and you can watch game in and game out a Gaskin's run into the middle. They're identical. Every run looks the same. It's either for 1 yard, 2 yards, 3 yards, maybe 4 or 5 if we're lucky. But the running plays are exactly the same type of running plays. And you wouldn't know one game from the next or one carry from the next if you went back and looked at film on their, you know, Gaskin's runs. You know, this guy, Lindsay, gives you a guy who can create something on his own. You know, he has that ability. And I'm not taking anything away from Gaskins. I think he's a very solid player, but I think that, you know, at times when there's nothing there, and this goes with our quarterbacks and even our receivers, when they create on their own, they get a ball in open space, and Waddle has the ability to separate even more so after the catch, right? You know, Tua has got to extend plays at times. You know, this is what I'm talking about, because the defense is, you know, they're trying to stop you. You know, that's your enemy. So it's not like they're going to give you anything. You know, sometimes you've got to make it work on your own.
Let me give you some information. I'm just looking at Gaskin's rushes, and the two lowest areas that he's run are over the right tackle and over the left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone around end, but he doesn't run off tackle.
It's all inside.
Yep.
Yep. I mean, Mike.
Predominantly.
I didn't look at numbers, and I don't look at numbers, and I don't really watch the games thereafter. There are occasions where I'll go back and, I'll look at certain things, highlights and that type of thing. But, I don't go crazy with it. And, I just by watching games, I know what they do. They do the same thing.
Yep. When he runs over left guard, he gains 4.2 yards a carry. That's his highest average over any position. And then left end would be second at 4.1.
Right. And then everything else is downhill.
Yep.
From there. Yep.
Pretty much.
So, and again, we're not taking anything away from Gaskins. I mean, a lot of this has to do with the offensive line as well, but.
No, definitely. And I like Gaskin. I'm certainly not taking anything away from him. He's a good receiver out of the backfield, and I really think that should be his forte.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I don't know what type of receiver Lindsay is. I haven't seen enough of him, but, he's a good running back. And you know what? He's going to be a very good player for us down the stretch here. I think he adds a different element to our running game. The ability to bounce something outside, and be able to get there. He's got a lot of quickness. So, listen, this is a guy that ran for 1,000 yards twice in his career, and he's not far removed from that. He's still a pretty young player.
27.
Yeah. Yep. Still young. So, let's get him in the mix here, going forward. And I think he's going to be nothing but a positive. In regard to the rest of the offense, again, Tua played exceptional yesterday. He stepped up. They have a really solid defense. And to their credit, they were able to move the chains over and over again. I felt the offensive line on two really good pass rushers did a very good job. How many times was Tua sacked yesterday, Mike? I think a big goose egg, right? Other than the hit and the fumble.
Yes, I think so.
That was it. How many times was he pressured yesterday?
Not a whole lot.
Yeah.
It was under 10 times.
I think it was 5 or 6.
I can tell you in a minute.
I mean, basically, overall, I think they did a very solid job against a very, very solid defense. Going forward, as I mentioned, we should be getting our other playmakers back. Parker hopefully comes back next week. And the other guy who, again, I won't mention because, again, he did not play.
Seven pressures.
Not bad. He threw the ball 31 times. Not bad. Decent percentage of.
That's very well compared to other games that we've played.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, it's Mike, it's baby steps at this point. We know what we have to work with. I think the offensive coordinator has, made even more adjustments. They did a lot of good things yesterday. We can touch on, the coaching yesterday. I felt that the team was very well prepared. The defensive side, the coordinator said, we're taking McCaffrey out of the game. And we're going to try, and we'll allow Cam to beat us if he can. And obviously he wasn't able to.
Yeah, and Jesse Davis gave up a sack. I'm sorry.
Okay. So you had Newton, who, I was so happy to see just struggle incredibly yesterday. I mean, 5 for 21, 5 of 21 for 92 yards, 2 interceptions.
He was pressured 18 times.
Yep. 18 times.
18 times.
21 attempts. Now, are you sure it was just him alone? Because Walker came in and threw the ball 10 times.
Well, that's total. No, that's total.
Okay, so that's total. So yeah. That's what I thought. I said, I don't think he was pressured. Because I'll tell you what, Mike, on his interceptions, well, at least one of them, I didn't see a lot of pressure around him. It was just a horrible throw. And that's what you have to do against him. Not worried about him throwing the ball down the field because for, the last couple of years, he struggled quite a bit doing that. He did all last year in New England. It was a very, very smart game plan going up against them. Defensively, they took McCaffrey completely out of the game. He averaged about 3.5 yards a carry. He had one 15-yard run. That was his best of the day. The other 9 carries he had, he averaged about 2 yards a carry.
They hurt him. He left in a walking
boot. And then they knocked him out of the game. Right, exactly. And they basically knocked Newton out of the game, too. So
I think he knocked himself out of the game.
Yep. Superman just got his ass thrown all over the place. And I love it. I love it. Not a fan of Newton. I said it on the preview show, and I couldn't have been any happier after what they did to him yesterday. You know, he basically got benched.
Well, to me, it was vindication for what he did to us last year up in that first game, I believe it was.
Yeah, it was the game here in the first game, I believe, yeah. Right? And so, yeah. Anyway, you know, overall, complete game, a great effort. The young guys, you know, Tua, Phillips, you know, 3 sacks yesterday.
You know what they were doing with him, Lewis? They were moving him around.
I saw that. I saw him coming from the left side on one of his sacks, and that was really interesting. You know, Mike, you know, we can say it over and over again. The game plan on the defensive side, I felt, was outstanding yesterday. And, you know, we can go over to the offensive side a little bit. They did a great job. We ran the ball outside a little bit. I mean, the pitches to Ahmed, you know, on the big first down. They ran outside the tackles quite a few times yesterday, and it was something that we never do. You know, the passes to the tight ends, you know, Smythe yesterday was just outstanding. I mean, a lot of big plays.
Yeah, we were kind of asking for that. Now, I'm glad they did it. I mean, we were talking about the red zone, but regardless, you know, we want to see the tight ends involved more because it works.
It works, absolutely. They were playing on, you know, they were going play action and just quick hits. You know, like I said, he averaged 6 yards a reception. No big deal, right? But they were big catches at times. You know, they were extending drives. They were putting us in good second downs, you know, on first down. If we were throwing and he was picking up 6 yards, we had 2nd and 4s. I mean, they were doing a really, really good job of maintaining the football, which, you know, we weren't doing early in the year. There was a lot of 3 and outs. And if you, you know, past the Buffalo game, since then, they've done a pretty decent job of at least putting some nice drives together. And
well, if you combine 3rd and 4th down conversions yesterday, they were 50% conversion rate.
Yeah, not too bad.
No, not at all.
A lot of that was early too, Mike. You know, me and you spoke during the game, and I was getting very frustrated on 3rd down because we had 3rd down and makeables, right? We had a 3rd and 3, right. A 3rd and 5, and we were coming away with with nothing, basically. And, you know, I felt that they were doing play action and all this crap. And, you know, all they have to do, which is what they began to do quite a bit, is just have the ball snapped to Tua, let him get a read, let him get a guy isolated on the outside, the inside, and he was throwing the ball to him. And it takes 2 seconds to get that playoff, and they were being very successful.
I agree with you, and I'm going to tell you why. He's a young quarterback. When you are doing play action, your eyes are off the defense. Mm-hmm. And I think it's to a young quarterback's benefit to keep his eyes on the defense.
Right.
Because I think it makes it easier for them to dissect what the defense is doing, and they're less prone to interceptions.
Listen, in the NFL, when you're talking about 3rd and 3s and 3rd and 5s, they got to be made. They have to be made. They have to be made at a very high percentage.
Yeah, I mean, and the defense gets paid too, you know.
Yeah, they do, Mike. But you know what? You get Waddle. He's your number 1 pick. You get him isolated. You throw a bunch group on one side. I talk about this all the time. And you isolate him and you allow him to beat the guy, or you give him the opportunity to beat that guy man-to-man, whether it's inside or outside. Let Tua read where he's going, you know, right away, depending on how the defender's playing him. And you just throw the ball there. And they can do the same thing with Gesicki, Albert Wilson, whatever the case may be, one of the running backs. Just get him isolated out there and just pick up those first downs and then go from there. Early on in the game, there was just too much play action, looking down the field, and, you know, they were taking hits, and our offensive line's just not there yet. And I don't know if they're ever going to be there.
They're not going to be there this year, right. Yeah. We need a few more pieces before they're going to be there, starting with center. Now, whether Dieter's that guy or not, time will tell.
Right. Well, Dieter, I believe, is due back next week. They mentioned it in the telecast, and right. I did read something to where he's very, very close. So hopefully we get him back.
The problem is Flores will tell you they're very close for 3 weeks. You know, it just that means nothing coming from him.
Right. Let's just hope for the best.
That's it.
And Dieter comes back next week, and, you know, we get a couple of receivers back next week. And, you know, Mike, that's a plus, you know, no matter which way you look at it. You know, Parker being on the field along with Waddle, that gives you two really, really, really good threats. When Parker's healthy, he's productive, and Waddle's been productive. And then if the other guy ever comes back on the opposite side,
Will Fuller.
You've got, Mike, you're trying to piss me off now, aren't you?
I didn't mean to throw you off. I'm sorry.
Yeah. If we get those three guys on the field at the same time, it'll be interesting. You know, it'll give Tua some more options, you know, down the field. And, I mean, that's the only element that we're missing right now are long throws down the field, you know, four or five times a game. You know, at least attempting them. You know, we're not seeing any of that. And what's going to happen is, you know, you're going to see teams, and I'm very surprised that, you know, Carolina, we just had a really good game plan. It was execution, Mike, because I think the Panthers knew what was coming. They just couldn't stop it.
And
that the execution, you know, to Smythe, to Waddle, you know, these guys was just perfect yesterday. Absolutely perfect. I mean, you look at the numbers, and they're, you know, per catch, and they're minuscule other than Waddle.
And Tua said something after the game. He says, you know, even when Waddle is covered, he's open.
Right. Right.
That's and those it. Are those are big words coming from him because he's got to think that way.
110% he's got to think that way. And you know what? He's got to think that way against a few, you know, with a few other guys as well. Yeah. I mean, you know, Gesicki has the ability, Mike, you know, when he's man-to-man, just throw the ball up. I mean, we've seen him fail at times, but there's times where, you know, he comes up with great plays. And, you know, I think that he's a guy. I mean, he had three targets yesterday. He's a guy that's just not getting targets. I mean, forget about catches. He's just not getting targeted a lot. And I feel that they have to target him at least 6, 7, 8 times a game, especially with our two receivers down on the outside. I mean, you know, yes, they were successful yesterday, but, you know, your tight end, you know, a guy like him, I mean, I think that they're wasting his talent. You know, I don't want to see him leave this team at the end of the season and him go on and just be dominant somewhere else. You know, I just don't want to see that and say, you see, this is the way this guy should have been used. I mean, listen, last week, he had 5 receptions for 50 yards. The week against Baltimore, it was a win. 0 receptions for 0 yards. And the week before that, 4 receptions, 54 yards. The week before that, 3 receptions for 48 yards. My point is that this guy, over the last 5 games, has a total of 15 catches. That's 3 per game, 0 touchdowns.
I wonder why they're not forcing the ball to him.
I don't know. I really don't. I mean, I don't know if Tua just goes other way. You know, he goes in a different direction and he just looks to Waddle a little bit more. But
I think that's part of it. I think, you know, Waddle's under contract for the next 4 years, you know, Gesicki's a free agent at year's end, so maybe they're trying to help themselves financially a little bit.
I would hate to think that, Mike, because I mean, if you're not being as productive as I just can't see that. It, you know, if you've got a player that can be productive for you,
well, why are they not throwing it to him?
I don't know. He's got 2 touchdowns all season as well. You know, we talk about this. I mean, he's a guy that I was
throwing
to
Smythe, right? They're throwing to Shaheen when he's in there. You know?
Mm-hmm. They are. I'm just not. They throw to them in a different way, though.
Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying is a little bit down the field to a guy that can split. You know, split guys down the middle. I mean, you know, if you've got Waddle on a crossing pattern, and the safety's trying to cheat towards him, and you have Gesicki going down the middle of the field, he should be able to win that battle quite a bit, you know. But You know, I don't want to spend too much time on this because it was a real positive day. It's just curious. You know, it's curious to me.
Well, yeah, you're nitpicking a little bit, but I mean, justifiably so. I mean, these are honest questions.
Yeah, I mean, 15 catches over a 5-game period to a guy that I think is much more talented than that, and 0 touchdowns over the last 5 games. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, we're on a 4-game winning streak, right? I'll get back to that. We're still winning games, but I think that, you know, you have to incorporate him into your offense. He has to be a playmaker. He just does, especially in the red zone, you know.
Somebody has to help Waddle because he can't do it all by himself.
Exactly. I mean, Mike, look at Waddle's numbers in comparison, especially with touchdown receptions. I mean, how many touchdown receptions does he have now, you know, this season?
I don't know, to be honest with you.
Yeah, let me look that up as we're talking here. But
football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game. But with the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once a single point scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. It's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you can still get in on the NFL action. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code TPPN. Bet $1 on any team to score, and you win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code TPPN. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. You must be 21 or older in New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit, $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problems? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know, overall yesterday, the coaching staff did a great job. I mean, you know, Flores, I think, has these guys in a good place. The defense, I mean, you know, I'm just at a loss with that, Mike, you know, in regard to this being the same defense that...
Well, they turned up the heat, Lou.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they did. They turned up the heat. You know, they were 1-7, and they got in their little office, and they said, what can we do? And somebody must have said, well, let's get back to who we are.
Right. I mean, shit, you know, 7-8 games into the season.
It took a while, but, you know, I mean, I don't know why they were less aggressive to start the season, but they were.
Very frustrating. It really is. You know, Waddle's got 77 catches for the season with 4 touchdowns.
It might simply be because the corners weren't very healthy.
It's possible. I don't know. All I can tell you is that even when they had their starting defense, and they were not playing up to par. They just weren't in some of the games earlier on, and it's going to come back to bite us in the ass, because I felt that, you know, if the defense had played at the level they've been playing at over the last month, some of those games would have definitely been won. You know, the Atlanta game,
yeah, no
the Jacksonville
doubt.
Game.
Yeah, sure.
And you're in a much better position. I mean, you know, you flip a couple of those games, Mike, and, you know, you're looking at a 7-5 record.
Yeah, I said to somebody else, because, you know, he said we lost 3 games by 8 points or something like that. And, you know, and that's the NFL. I mean, that's, you know, every team can look down their schedule and say the same thing. You know, we lost a couple of games. We really could have won had we been able to make another play or two.
Yep. Mike, listen, there's games all over the league. We watch it every week where you're just in shock.
Yeah.
I mean, Jacksonville beat Buffalo, right? I mean, there's games like that every single week. So,
and you don't think the Buffalo fans are saying, you know, if we would have beat them, and we should have beat them, you know, we wouldn't have New England above us now, you know?
Exactly. I mean, so, you know, the NFL, you know, a 4-game winning streak, regardless of who you play up against, is a good thing. You know, it's a very positive thing.
It's a great thing for a young team.
It is. There's no question about it. You know, so, you know, going forward, You know, you've got the Giants coming up at home, and you got a bye week, and then you got the Jets coming up at home. The two very, very winnable games. I mean, you know, you win these next two, and you're right back in the mix of things, you know, down the stretch there with the last three games to play. So, you know, there's some optimism. You know, I mean, we can't do anything with what was done early on, but, you know, we can do some really, really good things going forward. You know, so let's just hope that, you know, we continue to see the progression of Tua and some of these other players. Now,
I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. I know you were very critical of Tua early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
After these last two games, do you feel any differently?
I feel that with how they're playing, how their offense is being run right now, I feel confident in the fact that he can get the job done. Okay. And I'll leave it at that. I think that if you think that Tua is going to be a guy that can carry your team, you know, over and over again, when you get into an offensive battle with somebody, I think we're going to have problems at that point. Now he's throwing the ball a lot, Mike, but he's throwing the ball to where it's a controlled offense.
Yes.
They're very quick reads. They're actual first reads, you know, a lot of the time. That's thus the, you know, the average per reception thing. I think him and Waddle have a nice chemistry right now. I feel that going forward, especially when we go up against a team like New England, and you know how Belichick is, he's going to take Waddle out of the game. He's going to have to do things that are basically second reads. He's going to have to create plays on his own. Am I confident in him to do that at this point? No, I'm not. Now, he's progressed incredibly since last year. I mean, you know, as far as I'm concerned.
He has. He's so much more comfortable.
He's more comfortable. I think that he still has to have an understanding of what's sitting in front of him at times. When he did get hit, I believe it was the linebacker that was sitting right at the line of scrimmage when he got hit and fumbled early on in the game. You know, our offensive line has a lot to do with the fact that he rushes passes. I think that there was a pass early in the game where he kind of floated it out to Gesicki. When he was out in the flat, he's got to throw a bullet there like he does from time to time. I didn't understand why there was no air under it. It was bad mechanics. It took forever to get there, and Gesicki wound up getting 2-3 yards when he may have been able to go for 7, 8, or 10 yards if the ball was out there immediately. You know, he's getting better. He's getting better. And as long as the defense plays as well as they have, and as long as he's got a guy like Waddle and, say, Parker coming back, and he's got some guys to work with, I think that he can manage a football game and win us football games, because he's proven that he can do that. You know, I think he's still got a long way to go, Mike, you know, in all fairness to—
Well, in his first 16 starts, he's 9-7.
Right. I get the numbers. I get it. Okay? I do. I get the numbers. I get, you know, the completion percentage.
So all I'm saying is he's doing enough now to, you know, put the team in a winning situation, as long as he's got that defense playing at the level that they should be playing at.
Right, and he's not hurting you. You know, in the Jacksonville game, in the Atlanta game, he hurt us. He threw some really bad passes that in the end were costly. You know, the interception in the end zone against Atlanta. You know, you get 3 points there, and it's a whole different game at the end.
But that's going to happen from time to time.
It is going to happen.
Quarterbacks throw interceptions.
Every quarterback in the NFL throws interceptions and makes mistakes. Absolutely. But every quarterback also deals with pressure. You know, right. We watched it yesterday or last night in the Mayfield game. You know, the Brown game. I mean, the guy was getting pressured.
He was pummeled. He was getting pummeled.
He was getting beat up. He's already beat up.
He was limping. His elbow was bleeding.
That's one of the better offensive lines.
Yep.
People, when we talk about the Dolphins having the worst offensive line in football, yes, that is the case. But there's 10 other teams that grade-wise are very, very close, okay? And they deal with it on a consistent basis. Okay, Herbert dealt with it all day yesterday against Denver. They were killing him. They pressured him at least 20 of his 30-some-odd passes that he threw. The bottom line is this, is that Tua is playing at a good level, but let's not blame the offensive line and the receivers, because I'll tell you what, if he's completing 28 to 31 passes, that means the damn receivers are catching the footballs, right? You know, Waddle's getting open. So, it's team effort. You know, we're not going to blame Tua for everything that goes on, but we're not going to praise him for everything that goes on either on that offensive side.
Let me just read you something.
Go ahead.
The Dolphins' offensive line, this is pass blocking.
Yes.
49.8. The Giants are next at 50.1. The Panthers are next at 50.3. The Vikings are next at 50.8. Okay, so that's four teams within 1 point of each other.
Exactly. That's my point. And look at Minnesota. Now, Kirk Cousins is not a, you know, we'll use him as an example. He's not a mobile guy.
Right.
But their passing game is pretty damn good. So you hit it right on the button, Mike. And I guarantee you there's six more teams that are within 2 or 3 point, you know, points of our offensive line. There's not that big a differential.
Seattle has a bad line. Atlanta has a bad line. Tennessee Titans have a bad line in comparison. And I'm only talking pass blocking.
Pass blocking. Yes, right. Yes.
And Houston Texans are down there as well. So those are your bottom eight teams.
Right. And they're all within a couple of points of each
exactly.
other. Right?
So, that's why we say what we say. Quarterbacks get hit. That, you know, because eight teams is a quarter of the league.
So, exactly. Yep. Exactly. It's a quarter of a league. And then if you go up another, seven, Mike, I don't think there's a major, major difference. I mean,
there's not.
There really isn't. So with all that being said, you know, at this point, I mean, God, we talked about, you know, you posed a question and, in a long roundabout way, we brought up a lot of points in regard to Tua. I mean, he's the focal point, Mike. And I said in the preview show prior to this game that going forward, all of our young guys have to show us what they're made of. Tua is showing that. At this point, if you asked me, are you fine with him going into next season? A lot depends on what he does over these next five games. And then at the end of the year, I'll say yes. Right now, if I was to base it on the last couple of games, I'd say, yeah, I'd be okay with him coming back because they're starting to, gel as an offense completely. Does he have a lot of shortcomings still? Absolutely. So let's see what he does going forward. And then at the end of the year, we'll say, hey, we've got a guy that, can manage this team, can win you football games, do enough to not hurt you. He's not hurting us in any way, shape, or form, Mike, of late. He really isn't. The Buffalo game, I felt he played poorly.
Buffalo tends to make quarterbacks play poorly.
But it was more so the throws. It was more so the inability to know what was being called on the field and running and recognizing, the plays. They were a total mess in that game. Since then, I think that he's done an extremely good job going forward. I think he's played pretty well over the last 3 weeks. A lot of completions. No big mistakes. I think he threw an interception in the Jet game that kept him around a little bit. But, in the Raven game and in this game, he's been pretty damn good. And they're two pretty good teams.
I don't think Flores has beaten Buffalo yet.
Well, we're not gonna beat him this year, Mike, unless we play him in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And that's a long road.
We have a 9% chance of getting there.
Still.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy. After winning four in a row. But, that's what happens when you start off 1-7. They started out at 1%. So.
Yep. Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, that percentage will go up over the next couple of games if we continue to win.
Exactly.
Teams are losing, Mike.
Right. And Buffalo and New England play each other twice yet.
Yep.
Starting next week.
Everybody plays each other. These other divisions, I mean, you look at that Baltimore, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Cleveland division. I mean, my goodness. I mean, you know, those teams all play each other down the stretch. Somebody's got to lose, yeah. right? Yeah. All we got to do is keep winning. You know, Tennessee is, you know, they're falling by the wayside. They do not look good at all. Pittsburgh does not look good at all. I mean, they've got some issues there. And again, all those, it's Cleveland looked horrible last night. You know, it's going to be interesting. Seven teams make the playoffs from the AFC, right? I mean, you know, that's the bottom line. I mean, you know, there's 16 teams and, you know, seven of them are going to make the playoffs. So, you know, you've got to do a little bit more than some of these other teams. I mean, the other division in the West, you got Kansas City, the Chargers, the Raiders, and the Broncos, Mike, all separated by one game in the standings. One game. Three teams at 6-5, one at 7-4, all play each other. Somebody's got to lose those games.
All right, Lewis. You know, we came into the game and we both thought we were going to lose, and the team really performed well. Much better than I thought they were going to, because I expected Carolina's defense to give them a bit of a struggle. I mean, we have most of our receivers out. And, you know, Tua being a young guy, I really thought they'd be able to give them some trouble, but they didn't. And you got to give credit to the coaching staff. You know, we've been on them a little bit this year, and I think now you have to give them some credit.
110%. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, you know, the wrinkles that they threw in on offense, Mike, they're big. You know, they're big. You know, running outside on third downs and, you know, getting the ball to the tight end in the flat, and you know that those type of things that extended drives are so important. You know, they're important. You have to get creative. The NFL, you know, you can't go out there and do the same thing you do week in and week out, especially when it's not successful. And that we get into this, you know, into this situation where we're just doing the same things over and over again, and they're just not successful.
Well, as long as they keep winning over and over again, I'm good with it.
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, you look at the numbers yesterday, running the football and the completions, and all they are numbers. I mean, you know, can they maintain winning games doing that? I doubt it. But the bottom line is that they did what they had to do yesterday, and going forward, that's all you have to do. All you have to do is win, baby, win.
You know, I've said this before, and I think it's appropriate again. They're running a very controlled offense, especially when the defense is playing as well as they played last, you know, yesterday.
Right, and it helps the defense, Mike.
Yep.
I mean, early on, the three and outs just kill
yep.
you. You know, you go through the second quarter and the third quarter, and you're doing nothing but three and out. By the fourth quarter, your defense
exactly.
is
it's spent.
Spent. And, you know, of late, they've done a good job of at least holding on to the football and getting first downs.
37 minutes and change, and that's how it's done.
That's how it's done. Absolutely. Controlled offense. They, you know,
especially at our place, you know.
Oh, yeah. The last two home games, Mike, I mean, you know, it gives you a little bit of hope
yep.
going forward.
Yep.
You know, we looked horrible at home early on. In the last couple of games against two really good teams, we've done a great job. All I can say is one of the most complete games they've played in a while, and it was great to see every single aspect, the quarterback play, the receiver play, you know, the offensive line was much better. The defense was just incredible. The coaching was phenomenal. I mean, if there is one other negative, you know, it's the penalties in the red zone again with our friggin' offensive linemen. They're so frustrated.
Number 74.
It's false start. I mean, come on. Guys, I mean, you know, that kills you in the red zone. When we're playing against a team like New England at the end of the season, and, I mean, Lord knows it could come down to, you know, winning that football game,
well,
not winning it.
Got a long ways to go before that matters. You know what?
We absolutely do, but they have to clean that up, Mike. They cannot.
You can accept a bad snap from your third string center. Okay, you can accept that. But the tackles making these holding calls in the red zone over and over and over again, I have a hard
false
time
starts.
Accepting that. Yeah, you've got to be disciplined inside the red zone. If not,
Austin Jackson,
yeah.
in time, Mike. Go ahead.
It makes me crazy. That's all. You know, these guys are professionals. They're not high school kids. They have to be disciplined and know where they can maybe get away with a hold and when they can't.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, Eichenberg, he's been a starter since day one. Austin Jackson, a starter since day one, right?
Yep.
Hunt, pretty much a starter since day one.
Yep.
So, I mean, you know, you got to see these guys getting better week to week. You know, we talked about the last six games. Now we're going to talk about the last five games. And then next week, it'll be the last four games. This is what we need to see from the team. We need to see Van Ginkle. Wilkins continues to play well. Phillips had a fantastic game.
He was impressive.
You know, Holland, another interception.
He was impressive.
Mike, you know, this is what we need. Yeah. This is what we have to have. It's the difference between winning and losing.
And somebody, and, you know, somebody got on Xavier Howard, and they were unhappy with his play yesterday. Now, granted, he got beat for a long touchdown. I get that. But stop looking at his grade in PFF, because Howard's asked to do something that most cornerbacks are not asked to do, and that's cover the other team's best receiver without any help whatsoever.
All day long.
All day long. It's just not fair to judge him by that, because it's not an equal playing field. He's the reason we can play the difference, the defense that we play.
Him and Jones.
Yep.
I mean, they get on these guys, Mike. Wait until they're not here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because at some point, it's inevitable.
Yep.
You know, they're not going to be here at some point. Then you're going to go and say, oh, my God, these guys stink. They stink. They can't cover anybody. They get beat on a consistent basis for touchdowns.
Yeah, we've seen it. We've lived it. Jason Allen, remember him?
There's a million guys you can, you know. Listen, you know, you go back to the season where X-Man was hurt and Needham was out there as a rookie, you know, just trying to cover the other team's best guy.
Yep.
I mean, you know, it's a major drop-off, and, you know, it's just crazy that people complain, you know. I mean, it's justifiable only to an extent.
Right.
You know, I mean.
You have to look at the whole picture before you start criticizing, that's all. And I think sometimes people have trouble doing that. Even we do it sometimes, you know.
Of course.
It's natural. But
all you got to do is watch football games and see who changes games around. I mean. X-Man suckered Newton into throwing that pass, and it was picked off. I mean, the guy's still productive. I mean, how many times do teams throw at him over the course of the game? And, you know, he picks passes off. That's what you want.
And he's getting fumbles. He's stripping the ball. He's doing things that he needs to do.
Look at the Baltimore game. I mean, what a play. You know, he strips the ball. And then picks it up and looks like a running back and runs it in. That's a game changer right there.
Yep.
Enough of the complaints. You know, that's what you want.
If you're complaining about Howard, you're looking in the wrong direction. There's other people to complain about. Austin Jackson, you know?
Exactly. I mean, it's justifiable. All you got to do is watch a football game and see who's making plays in crucial times. That's the bottom line. You know, and that's what it's going to take for this team to get to where they need to be, whether it be this season or next season. You know, they have to have playmakers on both sides of the football that at crunch time make plays, not to where they come out and they look great on the first series of a game, and then we fall behind by 10 points and we look good at the end of the game in a comeback situation. They have to be making plays over the course of four quarters. This is what we did yesterday. On both sides of the football, the defense over and over again. And Landon Roberts with that tackle that he made, right?
Yeah.
Holland, an interception. You know, X-Man with the interception. The sacks, you know, the pressure, the hitting, the bogging down of McCaffrey in the first half. All of these things are factors in winning your football game. And they were dominant yesterday, Mike. They could have won they could have won 40-7.
Yeah, we talked about that during the game. Yeah, you know, that's a 9-point swing, you know, a 6-point swing, whatever it was. Yeah,
6 points and then the missed extra point. I mean, throw those seven on top of what we scored yesterday.
Then you're talking
and
40-10.
Score.
Yep.
Right. Take three away from them because we basically handed them that. I mean, a bad snap should never happen in the NFL. I don't care if you're a third stringer or not, Mike. But it, you know, the bottom line is this, is that even with those mistakes, we were still able to win by 23 points. Now, could we have won 40-7? Absolutely. You know, those couple of mistakes were the difference.
Right.
But, you know, it is what it is. You still dominated. They didn't come back to bite us in the ass. And that's the true measure of a good football team, Mike. You know, when you lose games because of one or two plays, you always go back and say, ah, you know, we could have won this football game. No, you win despite those couple of mistakes, because over the course of a game, that's going to happen. You know, we got burnt on a long pass yesterday. We had a bad snap that resulted in a field goal going to them instead of us. We overcame those things, and that's what good
teams do. Which is what you need to do. That's right.
Absolutely. You don't look at games and say, you know, those couple of penalties really, really cost us the game. No, you have to overcome. You know, if you have a first and 15, you have to make plays to pick up the first down anyway. You have to overcome diversity. The other team's trying to beat you. You know, this isn't just a one-way street. You know, it's coming right at you. Full throttle in the NFL.
Full throttle.
You can't make excuses. You know, you have to be up to the challenge. And if it becomes a bigger challenge, you have to get bigger in those.
You have to rise to the occasion.
And that's what they're doing right now. They're doing a great job. And, you know, let's just hope that, you know, that we continue on this no let-ups. You know, Mike, I'll tell you what, we're going to get healthier on the offensive side.
Just don't ask me for any predictions. That's all.
Well, we got to do it. It is what it is.
Yep.
It's part of the preview show.
Well, all right. Well, we'll worry about it Wednesday.
Yep. And I've got it. I've got the prediction already in my head.
So you hold on to it.
Worried about it.
You hold on to it.
All right.
Lewis, thanks for joining me this afternoon. I know it's been a long day, and everybody, thanks for listening. We appreciate it. And please leave your comments, leave your likes. Do what you got to do. We'd love to hear the comments and the criticisms and the positivity and whatever you got to say. But again, thanks for listening, and we'll be back Wednesday to take a look at the New York Giants. Until then,
I hope everybody had a happy.
Oh, definitely.
Too. I don't remember if we addressed that on the previous show, but happy holidays to everyone. Me and Mike get caught up in the game sometime.
Yeah, we do.
You know, all the listeners out there, hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving, and hopefully your Christmas shopping and everything goes well over the next few weeks, because it's going to be a busy time for everybody. And the fact that the listeners, you know, are going to take the time to listen to us through these holidays, we truly, truly appreciate that.
Definitely.
You know, everybody's
busy.
Everybody has a busy schedule this time of year. So thanks. Thanks to all.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Fins up, everybody.
Fins up, Dolphins.
All right. That's today's show. I just want to remind everyone that the Fin Fans podcast is proud to be part of DolphinsTalk.com podcast network and the Pigskin Podcast Network. Check out these sites, guys. There's lots of podcasts and information there that you'll enjoy. All right. Until next time, be well and take care.
Podcast Network.